Welcome people to my Outbounds YouTube channel. I am back with another video with a returning guest. I don't know if Kodja is still a guest at this point because he's here. He probably might just be part of the channel now, but yeah, Kodja, how are you doing?
Yeah, I love your intro, bro. Yeah, I'm doing very well. Thank you. What about yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm Kodja. You can see I'm feeling blue and whatnot.
Yeah, man. Blue is the way, man.
No, we'll discuss what you just said before the video started, but Abbas, back again. How you doing?
What is I'm good, man. New Year's round the corner, you know, it's just a nice little vibe. Work is done. I don't need to worry about anything else now.
Yeah, so as you know, the Premier League is back now. We took a break from club football because of the whole World Cup and whatnot. But as you can see, it's a full, actually not even the full Chelsea panel. It's a, I don't know if it's called like 2.5 Chelsea panel, because as you can see, we've got a Chelsea, sometimes AC Milan, sometimes fan down there. I don't even know if we want that in our fan base, but who am I to pick who supports Chelsea or whatnot? But as you know, Chelsea have had quite a disappointing season by our standards anyways. I mean, for me, it's always been if Chelsea don't compete for the Premier League, in minimum, anyways, is a failure. What do you guys think of our season so far as a whole?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go first.
Honestly, it's poor season. Like, it's not even an average Chelsea season, which is normally like in the top four. It's literally been a poor season, but it's one of them where the grass ain't always greener type of thing. And when we sacked Tuchel, and there wasn't really anybody available. So I always say, I can't blame the manager. I don't even blame the players. It's just one of them ones where, I guess you call it a transition season, because we signed so many players in the summer and they weren't given the time with the old manager that signed with. Signed a new manager who, if you ask him, he knows in his heart, he never expected to be at a club like Chelsea so early on in terms of the season or in his career as well. But with that being said, it's not over yet. The only problem is it's going to be another one of them just flat normal seasons, because like if you remember towards the end of last year, I've been on record as saying if Roman was still in charge at the start of the season, Tuchel would have been sacked before, because we just flatlined and just got into top four. And I feel like this season, based on how we are, if we get top four, it's going to look more like a success win. Or not necessarily a success, but based on where we are, it look impressive. But in reality is, we're far from competing for the title. I predicted that we'd finish second, because I thought we'd beat Liverpool to second. And I always claim City are the best team in the league. Anyway, they will always be the best team in the league. But yeah, it's just a very poor season so far. But we still have time to turn it around. And I think there's a small chance we can do, but we have injuries that are killing us.
Yeah, Koro?
Yeah, I agree with what Abbas said. I feel like this season's been a bit disappointment. Hence why I haven't really been too positive to Chelsea. Obviously, coming into the season, I thought Chelsea should be a top three team. I expected us to challenge for the league. I expected us to kind of have better performances that we can compare with what we've seen this season. Obviously, you know, the sacking of Tuchel was a bit of a surprise, and I thought it was a bit too early. I can understand why the sacking was going to happen, but I thought, you know, give him at least an extra month. We're still early into the season. Graham Potter's obviously taken over. I thought he's done an okay job. Again, this is his squad right now. I think obviously he's trying to build his team alongside with a vision and plan of Todd Bowley. So I feel like potentially by the start of next season, we could see more of like a Graham Potter Chelsea side. But overall, yeah, it hasn't been a great season domestically for Chelsea. Obviously, you know, we're more than, 15 points off the top of the table. Arsenal ahead of us by a long margin. Arsenal, like, really, like, it's absolutely been very disappointing in all fronts, to be honest with you. And I feel like, again, if Chelsea can't get top four this season, which is going to be a battle, but let's be very honest here, I think it's been a very, very shocking season. I wouldn't even say for me Chelsea deserve to get any positive rating. That's anything above a five. But obviously, we're still obviously the Champions League for the next round. We're going to have Dortmund in February, so that's going to be arranged in a fixture there. But yeah, overall, my so overall, my thoughts on Chelsea season is it's not been too great. It's been very disappointing.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things for me with this Chelsea team is I think we've lost all our fear factor. Because, I mean, this isn't the first time from when I've been watching Chelsea that we have gone like some stretch without winning the league. Remember, from 2006 to 2002, we didn't win the league. From 2010 to 2015, we didn't win the league. But we always had that fear factor of, you know what, it's Chelsea. You always had the Drogba's, Lampard's, even the more recent history, Costa, Hazard, and all that kind of stuff. And I do think Chelsea do have like quite a few good players in the team. Like, no one has come to the bridge being scared of Havertz or Mason Mount. Like, and I think it's one of those things that now teams, they come here knowing that, you know what, this is a Chelsea team that we could be. Now, and I think also the expectations that has been required from Chelsea, because of what City and Liverpool have done, I think has reduced, and I think you can see in the team. Now, normally coming into every season, you always hear about how Man City or Liverpool should win the league. They're always going to be the top two competing. But for me, it's always been like, why can't Chelsea be in that bracket? Because even if you look at recent history as well, when we played those two teams, we're able to compete with them in terms of, even though we didn't beat them in the cup, Liverpool in the cup final last season, I think in the first game, we were better than them. In the second game, we hung in with them. We could have won both games. Man City as well, even though they beat us last season, but the season before, we beat them in the Champions League, we beat them in the FA Cup. So it's nothing to be like when we face these teams head-to-head, we can't beat them, but it's what we do against the rest of the teams. The games that you come expecting to win, we don't seem to have as much control over that game. Is like we become a team where we play to our standards. And I think what has annoyed me even more is, as I don't remember who said it, you guys said we should be finishing the top three, top four. There isn't any reason why Arsenal should be able to do what they're doing and Chelsea can't. And I think that's one of the things that is really, now obviously they've signed Jesus and whatnot, but I don't know, coming into this season, if you were to ask who's better between Odegaard or Mason Mount, I think majority would have said Mount. We still have the best right back in the league, but then he's injury prone as well. You look at the attack as well. Havertz, I think, is very important into our build up as well. And you see the money that we paid for him, and I still think he will come good. But I don't know, the fear factor of Chelsea has just gone. And I think our signings as well, there's been a lot of like misses in terms of the Werner signing, Aubameyang signing. Like, these are players that just don't help us. And just last point as well, even the signings that we have made that I do think made sense, like I did believe we needed a signing like Sterling because a goal scoring winger, he's won the Premier League and whatnot. I thought it wasn't enough to just get the goal scoring winger, you need a creator, like somebody that can actually create for us. And we don't really have any specialist creators or specialist dribblers in our team. So I don't know, it's just been so underwhelming, like, coming into
there's so I remember speaking to my mate and he was saying the same thing about just football in general, and I don't agree with him normally, but he said there's not enough real world-class talent out there. Now we throw the label out of this person's world-class and stuff, but what they actually are is they're having a world-class game or a world-class stretch. The reality is a lot of these players are not world-class. That the two periods you mentioned where we were fire in terms of not winning the league. One, I'll give you the fear factor for the Drogba side of things, and then after 2012, that's a bit different. But when we signed Hazard, we had a genuine world-class player. And that's what I mean. So when he left, you can see how we fell off a bit. In terms of the league, I'd say this, we've always been consistently inconsistent. As in, you know where you're going to get with Chelsea. We can't match City right now. To be fair to Arsenal, I didn't see them doing what they did. However, last year, because of all the turbulence with Aubameyang, captaincy, etc., all that type of stuff, they were this close to actually being in top four, and they choked it more than Spurs, wouldn't it? They had something building with Arteta, even though he finished back-to-back seasons eighth. Whereas Chelsea, there's no consistency there. We overachieved when we won the Champions League. So I think that's a little thing that people don't realize. This team was never meant to be the Champions League as early as
it did. Over the crack.
Yeah. But one thing I'll definitely say is, you know, like he said about Odegaard and Mason Mount, I've always been high on Martin Odegaard. And now you can see he's leading this young team. And our star player is always injured. Our star player, our best player in that team is Reece James.
Yeah.
And he's injured. And we need
to... Well, the other best player, Kante as well, always injured as well.
So I'm not saying... See, this is the thing. The reason Kante can't be our best player because I can't trust him to play 38 games. He, when he's on the... But the only problem is he's not... He's a star feature player. Like, when he's there, he'll be good. But, like, Reece James, I know he is. I don't know how to explain it, but I should be able to trust Reece James to be able to play. I don't need to trust Kante to be able to play so many games. And I think that's another thing where we've got an issue. But realistically, can we win 13 games in a row? Or let's say 10 games in a row? We probably can't. And that's at least what you need to win the league title, because what City have managed to do recently.
Okay, so just the next question. Do you think our transfer policy in terms of the type of players need to change? Because, I mean, if you look at in recent history, the players we've signed and Aubameyang, Werner, Sterling, we're getting Nkunku in. And who else as well? What's the other attacker? Havertz and Ziyech. Now, I think it's come to a point where as in, we either sign a player that specialise in a position and we're not playing them in the right position, or we're signing players that seem to be decent at everything and not good at everything. Now, and the reason I'm saying that is the new attacker that's going to come into Chelsea is going to be Nkunku. Now, I won't lie, I'll tell you, I've watched him in the Bundesliga week in, week out to say that I can tell you exactly what his qualities are, but would any of you say he's a specialist at dribblings or a specialist at creating, he's a specialist goal scorer? And even his position in the team is a bit weird. Like, is he going to play number 9? Is he going to play number 10? Is he going to play left wing? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Does our transfer policy need to change in the way we sign players that we know exactly where they're going to play and exactly what they're good at? Or do you think the transfer policy is fine? It's just a bit hit and miss right now.
Koji, do you want to go on that first?
That's a very good question, Rich. Very, very good question. If I look at the policy right now, I don't think there's anything too extremely wrong with it right now. I think it's on a good path in terms of bringing Chelsea to success. I feel like we've got the right objectives in terms of how we're going to kind of go about the style of players that we want to sign at Chelsea. Obviously, in the recent weeks, we've seen Chelsea be linked to the likes of Bellingham, Enzo Fernandez. Even there's a, you know, we're in talk, we're in the advanced stages of a new youngster, Fofana. Being from Club Brugge, if I'm correct. So I feel like the intention in terms of the players we are trying to sign, I think, is good. I thought the situation with Aubameyang, I thought, you know what, right now in the current market, who could we bring in on a name of the deal who, you know, is available? I thought Aubameyang wasn't a bad signing. Premier League proven experience, was motivated to return back to the Premier League, so I thought that wasn't too bad. Ziyech at the time wasn't really a bad signing when we signed him in 2020. Who else? The likes of Koulibaly wasn't a terrible signing. I don't think these have been terrible. I think it's how they've been used. Say again, sorry?
I'm happy with the Koulibaly signing, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, like most of the signings, they're not terrible. So I think the transfer policy is right. Even with Toboli coming out, I think we're seeing a good intention that, you know, we're trying to be players, the best players that we can possibly bring into Chelsea. It's just how we're using them is the issue. I don't think they've been used or utilized correctly.
Yeah.
And most important, I don't think there's a coercive or cohesive structure within Chelsea at the current moment in terms of how we're actually going to best out these players. Ooh, I don't think it's the policy in terms of the standard of players. I don't see that's an issue. I think all the players that we sign are good enough players. They've done it before. Ziyech is a good quality player. We've seen what he can do at Ajax. We've seen good performances at Chelsea. He's never consistent, but again, there's many reasons for that. I think maybe it could be due to his attitude. The situation with Tuchel didn't work out. We see the likes of Aubameyang, you know, what he can do potentially enough, you know, for us as well. So, again, I just feel like it's how we're using the players, not necessarily in terms of the players we're getting. Because I feel like right now, even the names that we're being linked to, these are promising names. Fernandes, Bellingham, Nkunku is one which obviously has done well the past season. Again, I haven't watched him thoroughly week in week out in the Bundesliga. I'm not going to overhype the guy, but from what I've seen of him from the clips and highlights, the guy has a good finisher. He's young, he's promising, he's got a good work ethic. So obviously, it's not really a bad transfer. You have to wait and see what happens. Werner, again, when we signed him, it wasn't a bad transfer at the time. he just didn't do well, he flopped. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like we signed players where we know that, oh, they're not quality or maybe they're not really right for Chelsea prior to signing them. We signed players which obviously have a good trajectory. They're young, they're right for the team in the current style. But they just it just hasn't worked out for numerous reasons.
So the thing where it goes wrong for Chelsea is, like, all the players you guys have mentioned there are all forwards. So to get the ball to the forwards, there's a missing link. Since Cesc Fabregas, we've not had a miss. I remember when Mourinho came the first season, and I don't believe we had Fabregas then. So he went out, he identified, we need that particular thing to come in and be able to be that working clog. And where we go wrong is we glamorize the attackers. When if we really look at where Chelsea's attack comes from and what that missing link is, at this present moment, it's the wing-backs. And it's not even in the midfield. It's actually not even in the midfield. It is to an extent when you have Jorginho sitting and then being able to give someone like Kovacic the ability to play the ball forward, take the ball and actually play them passes. But even then, when you look at it, in terms of them type of killer passes, one, but also the forward-thinking passes, we still lack in that a bit. So that's where we go wrong. Two, I think we do sign players who are young and don't actually have a position catered to them officially. The only, like I said, you got Raheem Sterling, you know where you can play him. If you said about Kai Havertz, you can play him in multiple positions.
Would you say that they're not being used as properly? Would you agree with that sort of?
They aren't, but at the same time, we don't know how to utilise them. If I'm a player, I want to come to the manager and say, you're putting me in the wrong position. I know I'm better suited here. If you're going to give me an opportunity to play, put me here. Like I said, I don't know the dynamics of how it works, if you can actually realistically say that to a manager. But my inside thinking would be that, for example, when as well as positions, and you're still wondering, only problem what we do sometimes is, when I say, for example, you signed a Diego Costa and we did, you knew straight away that guy's not playing out wide, he's not playing as a 10, he's a striker, you know where he's going. Hazard, you know where he's playing, he's got two positions max, but you know where he's most effective. There's not three or four positions for each individual player. Mason Mount, for example, to an extent, he's got a position and then he's got a few little ones here or there. So I think where we've got an issue is we've got too many players who don't have a locked in position on the team sheet in terms of where they're individually playing, but also we have a missing link. If we want to play through the middle, we need a midfielder to do that. Right now, where all our attacks come from is through the backs, and realistically, that's not gonna cut it, I don't think.
No, I mean, 100% agree. And I think one thing that Abbas said earlier was the whole point about how I know the names we mentioned are attackers, but no one to link them. And I think it was one of the reasons why I felt like I wanted Dembele in the summer, just because he's someone that could actually create. He's a dribbling specialist, so he'd be able to give easy chances to all the Sterlings. And even though I never really rated Aubameyang anyways, but I felt like Aubameyang was going to be set up to fall anyways because we don't have a proper creator in that team. But obviously, you know, top four at the moment is realistically all we can get. But realistically, where do you think Chelsea can finish the season?
I think top four, man.
It'll still be top four. I think no higher than third place. I'll be totally honest with you. I think Arsenal finished ahead of us. But it's looking right now, at this current rate, I think Arsenal finished ahead of us. Liverpool's debatable, but City definitely, Arsenal certainly, the way it's looking. So I think for me, the highest we're probably going to finish the season is third. I think that's the best we're probably going to finish.
I don't know.
I was going to say, I'm not giving up on second yet, because the way some people still talk about Arsenal, how frail they are, how possible with them. And people are going to hate this. It's not that I'm not buying into the Newcastle hype. it's just they're on the best period that we can all remember in outside of the Alan Pardew time. So I'm interested to see where they break everything up. But still, I believe with the other teams around, like if Liverpool finish above us, considering where Liverpool were, it's poor from us. But again, the only thing is, I can look at Graham Potter and I can say to him, or I can say in general, that it's not his team. He just came in. He wasn't expected to have this job. So he's working with pressure. But he's working with pressure based on the fact that we spent the money that we did rather than anything else. I don't think it's for the first time Chelsea pressure, as in say, you've got to do this and that. I think there's some fans that are okay with him not getting the Champions League spots, even though it would be a bit of a stinker at the same time. Not necessarily the Champions League, but it's just we can see progression somehow in terms of it. Just be able to say, okay, cool, we have a Graham Potter imprint this team type of thing, and not and have some cohesion in there. But yeah, we need Champions League. It's been, I think the last time we didn't make it was when Conte coached his second season. Ever since then, we've been in there.
The 17-18 season with Prince Pip, that was our last season where we missed out. Champions League, and then since then we've been in it every single season. So obviously it's paramount that we qualify for Champions League. So obviously you want to keep building and attracting the players. Champions League is absolutely paramount. I'm still confident we get top four, but I just don't think you know, it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be a battle. I don't think we're going to be in the second. I think Arsenal this season, it pains me to say because I hate Arsenal, but I think they will get top four. I think third is a realistic target. Obviously, United are doing quite well at the current moment, so you go watch out for them. Liverpool on a bit of a ascendancy as well. They're selling right now. Obviously, selling Gakpo, we've got to wait and see how he adapts to the team and see how well he does. So obviously, it's still, you know, uncertain where we can finish, but there's still hope for us to get top four. We just need to hope that we don't get any more injuries. That's the most important thing. As long as we can just stay healthy as possible, we don't really, you know, get any more serious injuries, then I think, you know, we can definitely put up a good run and definitely secure that top four. But at the end of the day, bro, personally for me as a Chelsea fan, this season, even if Chelsea gets top four, it's still not a good season. Chelsea should be competing. You should be, for me, minimum, no more than 6 points away from City. Or Arsenal. I have to say Arsenal. This is ridiculous. So,
it's just true.
It's ridiculous. We shouldn't be behind at this stage. And we haven't been convincing as well. And again, the consistent problem with Chelsea is that, yes, you know, obviously, like you said, Rich, it hasn't. I think it was the best, actually. Sorry, Chelsea have missed that kind of missing thread in the middle of the park in midfield. But most importantly, is that we create a lot of chances, even that we have missed that creative midfielder. You know, like, you know, we had Cesc Fabregas for, you know, for good years, good amount of years, but we've still been able to create a lot of chances, just haven't been able to finish them. So, the dilemma of Chelsea is still we need a clinical forward and we need a reliable creative midfield outlet. We can get those two in for summer, barring injuries as well. This Chelsea team can kick on because obviously I do believe Graham Potter is a good manager to do well domestically. We have to see about Europe again. Only time will tell. Come February and you know and so on. But it is a pathway for success at Chelsea, and we all want that as Chelsea fans. But back to the main, you know, objective view, we have not been good enough this season. It's not been great. I'm not happy with what's going on right now. And I think we should got to be honest with this Chelsea team. It's very inconsistent. And we're a long way from really being a genuine, real super team.
No, I 100% agree with you guys. I think just my final take on the whole situation. Top four is still doable, but I'm not banking on it. Like, I'm not holding out hope. I mean, I don't have the full confidence in this team, especially now Reece James is back down again. We saw in the game against Bournemouth, we're playing really well. Reece James goes down, we bring old man Aspi on, and we start to lose some kind of control in the game. It's not selling Azpilicueta, but you can see what Reece James brings to this team. And if he can't stay fit, because he's our best player and our most creative player, I mean, I don't know anymore. So, yeah, just last one.
Even for Fofana as well, he got injured during the friendly games, like last week or 2 weeks ago. Again,
there's cover for him. There's suitable cover for Fofana with Koulibaly and Thiago. But with Reece James, there is no suitable cover. With what Reece James brings to this team, that's the point I'm trying to put across. I don't know, we'll see how it goes. at the top end of the table, as we're just speaking about the amazing job Arsenal have been doing, because, I mean, they are they 5 points ahead of City right now? Is it 5 points or something like that?
Yeah,
5 points. I think I saw somewhere that there's only been one team, which was in like the 1990s, that have had as many points of Arsenal have had at this stage and have not gone on to win the league. Do you believe Arsenal can do it this year?
Nah. The reason I say that is not because of anything to do with Arsenal. It's like, if you take the team that is meant to win the league out, they'll win the league. But because Man City is still there and Pep is still there, you know my thing about Pep. It's never going to change. He's the best manager to grace the Premier League ever. Better than Fergie, better than Mourinho, better than Wenger. He will always be. But that being said, Arsenal... you can say whatever you want. Okay. What I'll say is Arsenal right now are overachieving expectation. Yeah. So where they should be is where they were expected was top four, but they're overachieving. But that's not to say that they don't deserve it. The only thing I can say is, of course, officially, yes, they can win the league and stuff like that. Do I expect it? No, because it just comes from that frail mentality type thing. If they can do what they... I remember Leicester, everyone was questioning Leicester, can they win it? And they had that period, I want to say it was City, Arsenal, and there was another team in between. They had played them all three back-to-back-to-back or 3 or 4 weeks. And it was like, where did they finish after that? We need to see where they finish after that before anything else. And I think Arsenal have to have that type of thing. If it's in March and they've still got a little lead, three to four points, you start thinking potentially. But at this stage, if I was going to put bet on anything, you'd have to give me City. I just trust them. They've got the best forward in the league. They've got the best midfielder in the league, the best manager. And you'd just assume when they play head-to-head as well, that's going to be important when they play in February head-to-head, that I reschedule the game, where that puts them.
So just one question on what something you just said, because you said that you're really not picking them because you do believe that they're overachieving and they might still have that firm mentality. But at one point, do you feel like it's not just overachieving anymore, that this team is for real?
So this team is for real in terms of being in the top four and type of thing, right? So I get it, like, it's talent. I say this, Odegaard is, outside of Kevin De Bruyne, the best midfielder in the league. Outside of De Bruyne, he's the best midfielder in the league. Like, I'm happy to say that. That guy's talent, like, he's the requirement. Dipped off and stuff. But the only thing I can say is, give it till March. That's when I look at it. I'm like, okay, cool. You guys have still been there. You've been winning games, and City have been winning games. You mirrored them 11 wins. I'm happy, fair. Anything I'm saying right now is a lot of rubbish. But if you were to speak to anybody, I think even Arsenal fans will not officially be able to sit and believe that they can win the league, or that they're the favourites. Let's say that they're not the favourites, but can they win the league? Yes. I'm going to give it till March. Then I can have a conversation where I can sit down and write, right, yeah, they're the favourites. Right now, yes, I think they can potentially win the league, but I don't believe they will because of City. But if it was in March and they've still got 3 to 4 point gap, then I can say they are the favourites.
Cody, what about you?
Yeah, I think my best, literally. City, for me, we expect them to kind of win this winning run. I just thought at this stage of the season, obviously, we've seen it in previous years, the last season that they won the league, so I'm kind of expecting it from, as we currently see them, to go on the winning run, and I feel like that winning run is a very special run. But again, another reason why I see, for me, my favourite reason why I expect them to repeat come end of May, is that not only do they have the best manager in the league, not only do they have the best footballer in the league, not only do they have the best striker in the league, not only do they have the paper, but I think what's so special about City is that they've got a ton of depth. I feel like if one man goes down, another man can come in and do a job, or do a good enough job that they can, win games, to a good standard, in this league. Yeah. If Arsenal get, let's say, another two injuries to significant players, maybe Xhaka, Partey, or maybe Odegaard, I think we're going to see maybe that kind of, like, you know, if I said, the mentality kind of shift a bit. Because again, Arsenal have their depth. They've got a good starting 11, a top four starting 11, but their 11 is not good enough for them in the league, for being very, very honest. So I feel like right now they're kind of having a good run of form. A great run of form. Look, top of the table right now, coming to the new year, it's great. Arsenal overachieved. It's a great thing for them. And they're bound to get top four. But if they get any more significant injuries, you know, I feel like it's going to be a bit of a big ask for them to kind of really keep up with City. And I expect City to kind of keep this winning run. And I feel like if that happens, I think it's a game over for their challenge. But at the same time, for Arsenal fans, their aim is to get top four. And I think the squad's aim is to get top four. So I don't think it's a situation where they're going to really look at this and try to say we have to win every single game possible. I don't think they have the mentality to do that currently right now. So as of that, I think City should win the league. So yeah, but if Arsenal win it, actually, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
You know what? If they win it, Like, do you know how many babies we've had people who have literally, so the last time Arsenal won the league, being one, finished high school, college, and uni. So, like, it's not a big deal like that. It is for Arsenal fans.
No, but Arsenal fans, man, like, yeah,
I don't really care, they won it. Because, like, you're due one of it.
I've got nothing left. No, I can't lie, but then again, with me, there isn't kind of any win-win situation with this because we still have the Pep factor in the other hand. I mean, I don't want to speak on his career, but I mean, really and truly, I think it's one of those things. I'm not going to jump off the whole Man City to win the league thing yet, but three-peats in the Premier League is something that is very hard to do. Like, it hasn't been done since, I think...
Last time, in 2009.
And has it been done?
9, yeah.
So yeah, I think
hasn't been done again.
Realistically, the three-peat has only happened once. Am I correct?
Twice. United did it in.
United did it again.
They did it twice in Ferguson. Yeah. So they're the only team to have won the Premier League three consecutive times. So
yeah, and I said it
when stand alone.
The zone stuff, and I said that in terms of Pep's legacy, the first two Premier Leagues that he did win, it doesn't really do much for me because of the teams that it did have. But if he wins the third one in a row, I think that's the point I'm going to have to be like, you know what, big respect. And mentally, I'm not ready to do that yet. So, but at the same time, Arsenal win the league, I can't just accept it. Like, I know too many Arsenal fans and you know, I'm not even going to think about it. But can Arsenal win the league? I do think that they can. I think the only thing that could really stop them from winning the league is injuries, because they still have a game to lose realistically, and I still think they can go and beat Man City when they do face head to head. Like, although Man City have kept the pressure on Arsenal, I think this Man City team, as I said, in the overall style of play, did take a step back because they lost their two wingers. I know Kevin De Bruyne, he always used to see running from Sterling to Jesus and other standard who play those three balls in. And I think big credit to KDB. I said he's still keeping up his performances. But I do think Man City rely too much on Haaland right now. They seem to, and I could be wrong, the stats could prove me wrong, but I do feel like they're spamming more crosses than they've ever done before. They're spamming more free balls. Like, their build-up play isn't what it used to be, and their overall style of play isn't as appealing as it used to be. I do think they can be got at. So I can't stand here and say, I mean,
but they're still capable of playing that attractive style of football that we've seen for many years. You know, they're still, you know, capable of playing that quintessential style of Pep ball. I think with Alvarez, if he starts, you know, in occasion, I think we could see more that kind of fluid, intricate play that we've seen.
You're not starting Alvarez when Haaland has scored 20 goals.
But I'm saying, obviously, you know, when Alvarez has come into the lineup, if he started or coming off the bench, I think we do see elements, you know, high elements of that nice, intricate, fluid
attacking
football that is so synonymous with Pep.
I am not saying...
And Alvarez, he's a good striker as well. You've got to put a bit of respect on him.
Alvarez, by the way. I'm not saying City will be better with Alvarez, but I'm just saying...
I'm not saying Ivan, but I'm saying that they've got a good backup. That he can still, for me, for what we've seen so far this season, he's been quality, he's been the real deal, and he's done the ball in the World Cup, so... For me, he's a guy with Athletic City can feel comfortable having his arm goes down.
I hope Man City win the league anyways. I'll find something else to use against Pep, like I always do. So, I mean, it's what it is. So, yeah, I think that's all we do have time for today, as you can see. Wait, hold on. So just final thing. Can Arsenal win the league from both of you?
It's possible. It's possible.
But I know your favourite.
Yeah, I'm saying it right now. They're not going to win the league. They can't win the league. Pep's there.
Okay, in that case, that is all we do have time for today. Abbas, have you got anything to promote or shout out?
I can't even remember my social handles. Give me 1 second, yeah? Go to Kojo whilst I remember my social handles, you know?
Yeah. Kojo, the usual?
Yeah, as always, man, just follow me on Twitter. That's KL_London08 on Twitter. Talk about football, life, NBA. Come talk with the kids, interact, good stuff there. And yeah, just keep subscribing to the pod on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. And yeah.
And what Abbas is still looking for his socials.
I got it. Yeah. I'm back on TikTok. I'm doing my thing on there. Abbas Talk Sport. I need to get to 10k, so hit me up, drop a little follow with we're nearly there, and follow obviously Richard on the socials as well. Come on,
yeah. Outbound_UK on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, you know, all the good stuff there, and my personal Twitter account as well is rich_ldnn for the eyes of one. So, yeah. But thank you for listening to another episode. We'll be back again with more sports content.